Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Ago, there was a television program called Tell the Truth. That indeed is a noble and righteous thought. I don't know what happened to the program, but the concept is certainly commendable, is it not? The Apostle Paul wrote to brethren in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man." The old man was characterized by a number of transgressions, among them the matter of lying. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 18, we read, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," which of course echoed the same truth that was taught in the Old Testament. The subject of my lesson is, brethren, don't lie. Now, you may think it's rather strange that I would choose this kind of subject, because we all know that church people know better than to be liars. And we do know better. Church people certainly ought to know better. But we also are aware that sometimes even those of us who profess to be children of God do stumble and sin against God, and we don't always act and speak in the way that we ought. You know, in our society, lying has become very commonplace. Those in government have even claimed the right to lie. Lying is often excused. It's even considered to be sophisticated. And more often than not, people have concluded that if you do that which is wrong, including lying, if it's for a good cause, why then that justifies it. You may think that a subject and a study of lying and the condemnation of it should be preached to that rough and uncouth and irreligious individual out here on the street, and certainly it should be preached to them if they would listen. But it's also needed among Christian people. The New Testament writers had a lot to say in the condemnation of lying. And the Apostle Paul wrote this admonition to those who are such as we are, that is, Christian people. And even if one is not guilty of lying, all of us need the ever-continuing strengthening and fortification against temptation of any kind of sin, and the prevention of sin is often in the learning of what ought and ought not be done. You know, generally speaking, I suppose that all of us to some extent sort of classify sin. Roman Catholic Church has classified sin, and they call mortal sins and venial sins, and some being worse than others. Most of us will talk about in the realm of lying as just a white lie or maybe a real bad black lie. People talk about the sins of others, now they are bad. And our own sins, well, maybe they are not so bad. But the average member of the church will look with a great deal of disdain on such things as fornication and murder. We would readily condemn openly armed robbery and drunkenness, and rightly so. These things are heinous and an abomination in the sight of God, but we may not be as disturbed over such things as envy, or lust, or jealousy, gossip, and greed. And probably we do not cringe at the sin of lying as much as we ought to. It's generally true that in society, truth is not held in respect like it ought to be. In fact, there are those who are advocating that there is no such thing as objective truth. So when people contend that there is no truth, why, people are not likely to want to be speakers of the truth. Now, it is certainly true, and I think you would agree with me, that some sins will bear more serious immediate consequences than do other sins. For instance, murder would surely bear a more sinister and deadly consequence than maybe telling a lie. But that is not to say that either one of them is acceptable in the sight of God. Sin in any form is a sin. And that which is a transgression of the will of God, 1 John 3 and verse 4, that is defined as sin. So, brethren, while most of us would readily and verbally agree with the sentiments that I have already expressed, we do not have a right to look with a tolerant and charitable and liberal attitude toward perverting truth in any shape, form, or fashion. And we should not be lax with this matter of lying to where we ourselves are classified by the Lord as a liar. I think this kind of lesson is constantly needed. Not only that our young might learn to be honest, to have integrity, and to tell the truth, and that they might learn what an abominable thing it is to tell a lie. But this kind of lesson is needed because of the hideous damage that lying does. You know, good people can be led to a great deal of hurt and harm because of a lie, and to believe a lie, why, that can be deadly. We read back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 13 of a prophet of God that was sent on a mission who carried out that mission in a most glorious fashion. But he later on believed a lie and it cost him his life. He might have been honest and sincere in believing that lie, but the belief of a lie is deadly. And we read in the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 how that people are deluded because they believe a lie. Congregations have been divided and torn asunder because of the circulation of lies. Many church problems can be traced right back to somebody perverting and wresting and twisting the truth. And I'm not just talking about the almighty and perfect truth of God. I'm just talking about telling things that are just simply not so. Deliberate distortions of reports of one sort or another. Homes have been broken because of lies. That's how powerful and deadly a lie can be. People are made unhappy. Great tensions are created in our heart and mind and lives because of lies. Friendships are destroyed. Doubts and suspicions are aroused because of lies. Jobs are lost. People's livelihoods have been destroyed because of lies. Lies were a part of that which led Jesus Christ to the cross, because false witnesses perjured themselves before the authorities when they were called to testify. And they were believed. And by on the basis of those perjured words, why, Christ was condemned to die. And many of a reputation has been destroyed because of a lie. Now, just here we might add, and I think justly so, whereas reputations might be destroyed by a lie, character cannot be destroyed by lies. Character is what you are. And you are the only one that can mar and blemish and destroy what you are. And regardless of what other people think of you, God knows what you are. And when you keep yourself right and acceptable before God, why, that's what matters most. Now, that does not mean that we're unconcerned about our reputation or what other people think. But you see, your reputation is what people think you are, and character is what you really are in God's sight. But many a man, and many a woman, many a boy, many a girl has been hurt immeasurably, their reputations harmed because of lies. Elders and deacons and preachers and other members of the church have been branded for something that they are not, simply because some people have decided to believe or repeat or invent some lie. Lying is a way of stealing. Shakespeare wrote, "Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed." Yes, we can rob people of a deserving good name by lies. You know, dear people, to tell a lie, you just stop and think about the gross inconsistency of it. We utter a lie, we tell a lie, and with that same mouth and the same tongue, by the same lips, we profess to glorify God. And so we can say in the words of James, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." There are several ways that you can help propagate and promote a lie, and of course one of them is to be the maker of a lie, to originate the lie. Be the one who invents the lie. To tell something so as to deliberately attempt to deceive. And many a lie has a certain amount of truth mixed in with it to make it sound rather creditable. But it's just what we sometimes refer to, and it's really a non-existent thing, a half-truth. Tell just enough truth to make it sound attractive and reasonable and accepted, but to leave a false impression. It is indeed an evil mind that will stir up within himself some kind of report about something that is false and to deliberately send that forward to the hurt and to the harm, certainly of other people. And we can participate in lying by being a willing recipient of a lie. He said, "Well, what I hear, I don't know whether it's a lie or not." You've got a responsibility, particularly when you hear something that might be detrimental and derogatory towards something or towards somebody. You have the responsibility to know, to investigate before you willingly accept that. The Old Testament scripture says, "Let the mouth of two or three witnesses," not gossipers or scandal mongers, but "at witnesses, let every word be established." We're not obligated to just accept as base and truth whatever might happen to fall upon our ears. We can contribute to the world of lying by receiving and accepting and harboring things. And maybe we haven't investigated. We don't know what we're talking about. But we just accept it. And then, of course, there's the way of becoming a liar by repeating it. It's rather obvious that if it's sinful to make a lie and sinful to willfully and deliberately receive and accept a lie, it's surely sinful to repeat a lie. There are people, I suppose, and these, it seems to be, that just can't hardly wait to tell something, particularly if it's harsh and detrimental to somebody else. They want to get that report out. There's a little verse here worth considering. how much of this world's ills would die if all that entered ear or eye would not escape from beneath the nose and we could learn our mouths to close. I think that's a brilliant statement. I wrote that. That's the reason I think it's so good. And it tells the truth. You hear a lot of things that just don't bear repeating. You see a lot of things that just don't bear being reported. And dear people, a lot of the things that we might hear and see are just not true. I want to impress upon you the seriousness of this matter. And particularly young people, you need to learn to respect what is true and not tell that which is false. And here's why. Hear the word of the Lord. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20 and verse 16. Thou shalt not take up a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Keep thee far from a false matter. Exodus 23, verses 1 and 7. Ye shall not steal, neither shall ye deal falsely, nor lie one to another. Leviticus 19 and verse 11. I've already read to you the passage from Matthew, thou shalt not bear false witness. Paul, to Christian people in Ephesus, Ephesians 4 and verse 25, wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth one with another. For we are members one of another. And the passage in Colossians again, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. Without are the dogs, and that refers to sodomites, and sorcerers. That's those who engage in witchcraft. I just want you to see the level of activity in which these things are associated one with another. The dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Now please note the company in which he places lying. These are matters here which are heinous in the sight of any responsible and dignified individual. And right in the midst of them, right along beside of them, in an equation with them, is not the seriousness of the matter seen that God condemns lying? Certainly falsehood is an unfruitful work of darkness. We who are Christian people are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. And lying often takes place in whispers, and by tattlers, and by talebearers, and it's often the manner of escape when it's to our benefit, even though it may not be true. You know, we hear a lot in the political world about the spin doctors. Whatever happens, there's somebody that takes it, has to turn it just a little bit, twist it a little bit, be deceptive just a little bit, but make it sound the best to accommodate what they think. And some other spin doctor will turn it just the other way and twist it and rest it. My dear friend, God doesn't accept spin doctors among his people. God expects people to tell the truth. In John, the 8th chapter, Jesus had some very severe words to say to some people. And he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, that's strong words of condemnation. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Whose servant is a person being when he takes it upon himself to be a liar? None of us here of right mind, young or old, wants to be a servant or a child of the devil. But when you lie, that's what Christ said that you are. Now hear one other passage. Revelation 21 and verse 8. 7 and 8. But he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Dear people, there can't be any mistake about this matter, can there? Therefore, we need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful about the impression that we leave. We're supposed to be children of the day, not of the darkness. We're supposed to be the kind of people to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the kind of people that would never bring reproach upon the holy name that we're called, that is Christian, one who is follower of Christ. But we're to exemplify Christ. Can you imagine Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, misleading, misdirecting, deceiving, and lying to other people? The very thought. We do not look upon it with any sort of good feeling, do we? Well, neither should we be liars. Young people, one of the greatest marks of maturity is that you learn to tell the truth and not lie about anything. Don't lie about what you've done. You may have done something you ought not, and you may get caught. Don't try to lie your way out of it. You're just digging the hole deeper. Don't lie about your schoolwork. Don't lie about what you've said or where you've been. And older people, you need to be, as we speak of it, right on top of the table. Now, that doesn't say you have to spill everything you might happen to know. There are some things it's better for you to keep to yourself. But if you're going to spill anything, make sure it's right. Make sure it's the truth. Make sure you can back it up. Or you may be called upon to do it sometime. And if you can't do it, it could be terribly embarrassing to you, could it not? Tell the truth. That's a good name of a program, but it's also a characteristic of Christian people. Rather than to tell a lie, let us tell the truth, live the truth, support truth, demand truth. After all, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," and that, of course, has reference to the truth that he brought. But whatever the word truth might include, it is that which is righteous and that which is right. And you can always be confident when you tell the truth, you're going the best path. It may be difficult for you because of it. The consequences, sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth makes people angry. Sometimes truth will bring hardship upon you. But it's always a whole lot better. Brethren, do not lie. Such is the lesson for this morning. And I would call your attention now to the invitation that is before us. be reminded that Christ has died on the cross, that we might be saved from sin. Whatever our transgressions are, the blood of Christ is sufficient to blot them out, and we will be remembered against us no more. But you must come to Christ. You must obey the gospel. And until you do, every transgression, lying and all the others, is still on your sin-stained soul. And you can't go to heaven that way. But you can go to heaven by the blood of Christ redeeming you from your iniquity. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you can be as clean as the driven snow. If you've once come to Christ and have wandered away, you need to come back. Your very life is a lie to profess to be a Christian and then to be hypocritical about it and inconsistent about it or apostatize from it. Through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can make matters right between you and God.